In the video that we listened to earlier, we heard the familiar Christmas account one more time. The video spoke about the town of David. Some of the translations say Bethlehem. And Bethlehem literally means the house of bread. Jesus, the bread of life, would be born and placed into a feeding trough. A manger. That means a feeding stall. Jesus was laid down where animals ate. The humble king who came for all of us. He came to a lowly stable, or a barn, or a cave, depending on how you read the translation. But a king who's come, you'd expect a king to come with a fanfare. You'd expect a king to stay in the best possible accommodation. Whatever was the equivalent of a modern day boutique five-star hotel, that's where you would have expected the king to come. Yet, he was humble. He humbled himself, lowered himself for you and for me. And the announcement that was given to shepherds. Shepherds of all people. They were the lowest social class in the first century. Nobody trusted a shepherd. It's a bit like no one trusts a tax man today, or a double glazing salesman, or perhaps in Dave's era, an insurance salesman. Yeah, nobody ever trusted them. But they were the first ones to hear. They were the first ones to respond to the message that Messiah had come. This, in many ways, reflects God's heart. He reveals himself to the humble. He reveals himself to the marginalized, to the broken. He reveals himself to those who are rejected by the world. He's come for everyone who will believe in him. But he came there, and the announcement was to the humble. Good news. The good news was given. The announcement of victory, the announcement of salvation, the announcement of freedom was given to the shepherds. And it's also given to us today. The angels preached the gospel before Jesus himself preached the gospel. The great joy that that good news gave. The word in the Greek, it would refer to mega joy, to full, overflowing, unstoppable joy. Friends, that's a joy that you and I can know when we know Jesus as our Lord and our Saviour. We can be full of joy knowing that we have been forgiven because we've placed our trust in him. The Saviour, yes, the Messiah, the Lord. There are three titles here that prove the identity of Jesus. Saviour, rescuer, deliverer of sin. Messiah, Christos, the promised anointed king. And Lord, Yahweh, God himself. Wonderful titles for a wonderful Saviour. And yes, Jesus and God the Father have many names throughout Scripture. But here, the truth is proclaimed that he is Lord, that he is Messiah, that he is Saviour. There's never been anyone like him throughout human history. There never will be another like him. When he came into this world, he lived a perfect life. He paid the penalty for your sin and mine. His sacrifice was sufficient for all who will believe. One sacrifice for all. Doesn't need to be repeated, doesn't need to be done again, doesn't need a do-over because it didn't quite happen correctly the first time. Everything happened according to God's perfect plan. Christmas. The world may try to take Christ out of Christmas. But for us, Christmas proclaims that Jesus is God, that he was born to save, that he came to set us free. without Christ, there's no reason for Christmas. But we have every reason to celebrate, not just on one day a year, but every day, knowing that we have been set free, knowing that we have been reconciled to God. We're back in relationship with God the Father because of what Jesus did for us. My first point this morning is go and receive the joyful good news. The angel said, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. You know, joy, it's not a temporary happiness. Happiness depends on our circumstances. But joy, true joy comes from knowing God. I mean, I'm sure that some of you were really happy when you woke up this morning thinking, oh, it's Christmas Day. I've got presents to open. I've got a turkey to eat, or a lentil nut roast, or whatever it is that those who don't eat meat eat. I'm sure that you were full of happiness, thinking about how the day would go. And then you remembered you needed to be here this morning. Where else is there than in God's house on the day that we celebrate God's birthday?
Amen.
The world will try and encourage you. Oh, have a lie-in. Stay at home. Don't waste an hour of your precious time hearing about the reason for Christmas. But thankfully, for each of us, we knew where we needed to be this morning. Isaiah 9 verse 6, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You know, Isaiah prophesied these words 700 years before Christ was born. Wonderful. In Hebrew, it's Pele. Not to be confused with a Brazilian footballer. Pele. Supernatural. It's wonder beyond human comprehension. And it's wonderful that God was willing to come. Mighty God, in Hebrew, El Gibor. Divine warrior, king. The world was expecting a warrior. In some ways, Jesus was a warrior. He conquered the power of sin. He conquered the power of death. But many were expecting a saviour that would be a deliverer from the Roman Empire. But when you think about it, what Jesus did, what his life did, what happened after he ascended, many of the Romans became Christians. So in some ways, he did defeat the Romans as well. And our Christmas joy, it is rooted in the sovereignty of God. God is one who keeps his promises. God is one who is able to do that which he has said he will do. Preacher and teacher Tim Keller said this, the gospel is not good advice to follow, it's good news to believe. It's good for us to believe that Jesus was real. It's good for us to know the truth that he came into this world. It's important that we know the truth that he was willing to sacrifice himself for us. He was born to die, but to rise again, conquering the power of death and sin. Friends, Christmas, it's not just a holiday. It's not just a suggestion. It's not just a day when you can eat more than your own body weight. It's a day when we remember the Saviour coming. We have to remember that in Christ we receive. It's not about what we achieve through knowing him. Well, we achieve eternal life, we achieve forgiveness of sin, but it's not because of our efforts, it's all because of him. Christmas, it's not just the suggestion to live better. Goodwill to all and peace on earth to men. That's what you often hear this time of year. Well, actually, what we should be announcing is that salvation has been accomplished by Jesus. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. And if we're honest around the world today, It's a world that's full of fear. It's a world that there's war taking place. I saw a news broadcast from the Ukraine this morning, and on one side of this a beautiful town square, they had a tree, and it was glowing with lights and decorations, and people were smiling. And then the camera panned across to the other side of the square, where there were people holding pictures of their loved ones who have been captured or lost because of the war. The world is broken. The world is damaged. The world needs a saviour. And true peace can only come from Jesus. Jesus brings a joy that can't be cancelled by suffering. Jesus brings a joy that can't be cancelled by inflation. Jesus brings a joy that can't be stopped by political chaos. Jesus brings a joy that means if we're facing illness or loss, we can still know that he cares for us, that he loves us. In all circumstances, in all situations, Jesus is with us. And on this Christmas morning, we remember again that he came into this world. And he still loves this world. Let me talk to you about a gift. If you receive a wrapped present today, if you see a present with your name on it, what do you do? This is not a trick question. Open it. Thank you. Now imagine someone gives you a gift and it's beautifully wrapped. And you take that beautifully wrapped gift and you stick it in a cupboard. And you never open it. And maybe you return to that cupboard over the weeks, months, years, and you see this beautifully wrapped gift in the cupboard. That would be silly, wouldn't it? The whole point of being given a gift is to open it, to enjoy it, to benefit from it in some way. Now, we may get some gifts that we don't quite see the benefit of. There is a limit to how many pairs of socks one man can own. There's a limit to how many bits of stuff that we can be given that will probably be broken by tomorrow anyway. But Jesus is the perfect gift. Jesus is the unbreakable gift. And Jesus is God's gift to each and every one of us. And when we open the gift that is Jesus, we find inside it forgiveness. We find heaven is inside that gift. We find that real life is inside that gift. And we find hope inside the gift of Jesus. But as I said, a gift is useless unless you receive it. It's no use knowing of Jesus. You need to know him. It's no use just bringing Jesus into your life, maybe on a Christmas morning. Jesus is meant to be the centre of our lives every day. So this Christmas, accept the gift of Jesus. This Christmas, trust him, follow him, love him, dare I say, obey him. Because he has wise advice, far wiser than anything we could ever come up with. Or teenagers. Do we have any teenagers here this morning? Maybe not. Maybe we have some people who are closer to being teenagers than perhaps some on the other side of the room. Teenagers, young people, young adults, following Jesus is not boring. He is the greatest adventure. He gives purpose beyond anything this world gives. Beyond the popularity you might be seeking on TikTok. Beyond the popularity that you might be seeking in your friends, in your group of friends. Jesus is not boring. Jesus is the saviour. He is the solution to all of our problems. And young or old alike, we are all called to live for him. every day, not just for a few hours at Christmas. Second point, go and believe in the Saviour who came to save. Luke 2:11 says, the Saviour, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born in Bethlehem, the city of David. He didn't come just to inspire us. He didn't just come to give us good advice. He came to save us from our sins. And Matthew 1:21, you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus in Hebrew, Yeshua, Yahweh saves. The mission is in his name. The cross was not plan B. God did not sit in eternity and think, oh, it's going wrong, I'm going to have to send Jesus. From the beginning, God had always planned the way for us to be saved. You know, a lifeguard can't save a drowning person unless the person is willing to be saved. If you've ever seen someone who's been struggling in the water, when the lifeguard gets into the water, the person that's been struggling has to relax enough to let themselves be saved. They have to recognise that they can't do it on their own. And friends, today, many people are drowning. Many people are holding tightly to the things of this world. They're holding on tightly to things that are of no real benefit. And they refuse to let go of that and hold on to Christ. You know, to be saved, we have to surrender. To be saved, we have to trust. Not in our own strength, but in Jesus. John Piper wrote, Christ came into the world to save sinners. Christmas is an indictment before it becomes a delight. Let me explain that. Christmas, it explains to us that we need a saviour. It explains to us that something is wrong with us in our nature. And we need to recognise that we are saved by Christ. We can have delight when we know that we've been forgiven. Have you ever upset someone? Have you ever said something which, the moment the words leave your lips, you just wish that you'd perhaps paused and thought before you'd said what you'd said? There are times in our lives when we may make rash decisions. We may say things quickly without thinking. And the Bible encourages us to actually think about the cost of following Jesus. You don't just rush into it because it's Christmas morning and you're hoping Dean will shut up if you respond. You need to think what it means to really follow Jesus. What it means is point three, go and worship the King. Matthew 2:1-2. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem, asking, where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. To worship him, that means to bow low. It means to submit. It means to adore. It means to give allegiance to. Worship is something that is a complete package. Maybe in the 21st century we think that worship is when we stand up and sing. But our whole lives are meant to be a living worship of our Saviour. And the wise men, when you think about it, they didn't just come to observe. They came to worship. They came to bow down. They travelled because there was a reason for them to be on that journey. And it took them time, it took them attention, maybe it even took them sacrifice to leave behind their families, their friends, to set out on this journey to find the Messiah. And they brought gifts. Imagine buying a gift for someone important. And when you arrive, others ignore them and just talk about themselves. We are meant to be celebrating the birth of Christ today. But what's the world doing? The reason for the season is completely ignored. We know that Jesus is Lord. We know that he's Saviour. And while the world may celebrate some form of Christmas, we must celebrate Christ. Charles Stanley said this: true worship occurs only when our focus is on God. Not on the world, not on what the largest turkey is that you can fit in your oven without using a crowbar. Not on the size of the pile of presents around your tree. Jesus. True worship occurs only when our focus is on God. The true celebration of Christ's birth is only when we focus on him. Let me give you the gospel. Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, was born of a virgin. He lived a perfect, spotless life. He performed miracles. He taught people. He taught people with divine authority. He willingly went to the cross. He took the punishment for our sin. He died in our place. And he was buried. But on the third day, he rose triumphant. He conquered sin. He conquered death. He conquered hell and the grave. That is so much more than the world knows about Jesus. And he ascended to glory in front of his disciples, and one day he's returning. And because of his death, because of his resurrection, we can know forgiveness, we can know salvation, we can know eternal life, a free gift given to all who believe. Christmas without Christ is meaningless, and Christmas without the cross is also meaningless. Let us understand that Christmas was part of our eternal salvation. Let's understand that without Jesus, we'd be lost. But let's be thankful today for what he has done for us. This morning, we're called to come to Jesus. We're called to repent of our sin. We're called to trust him. We're called to worship Jesus, to make him the Lord of our lives, to make him the centre of everything that we do. We are called to share Jesus, to tell others the good news, to tell others the gospel that has set us free, the gospel that has saved us. We are meant to share it. And we're meant to obey Jesus. Oof. But I want, I need, I think, no. What did Jesus say? Do we follow his words? We should. Do we allow the Holy Spirit to move in us and through us? Yes, we should. And all of that leads to us serving Jesus, to giving of our time, to giving gifts, to using whatever resources we have for the mission that Jesus has given to everyone who calls him Lord. To be disciples, to go and make other disciples, to tell people the truth of who he is. This morning, if you've never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, why put it off any more? Why can't today be the day when you say yes to him? To actually open the gift that he's given to each of us. To open that gift of salvation. Friends, all of us fall short of God's glory. All of us fall short of God's standard. But when we trust in Christ, we're forgiven. Romans 13:11. And do this, understand, in the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Every day is one day closer to his return. Let's trust him. Let's love him. Let's make him Lord. Let's put him at the centre, not just today, but every day of our lives. So I encourage you today, go and receive the King. May the joy of Christ be in your heart. May you have the peace of Christ in your mind, and may his love overflow through you every day of the year.